Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors and all related subjects. We have a guest this morning. First thing out of the box, we have Steve Vilnet with us. And Steve is the seafood marketing guru with Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. Good morning, Steve. Was that the correct title, guru?
Yeah, we'll go with Alan. Thanks, Alan.
All right, good, man. How you been?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Good, good. Got to see you the other night at the aquarium when the folks from the Oyster Recovery Partnership put on a little event called Mermaid's Kiss.
Yeah, it's a great event. Looks like we're going to raise quite a bit of money for the oyster recovery efforts in the Chesapeake Bay, and everybody had a lot of fun at it.
Yeah, how many folks were there? I counted probably 250 or so. I think that was in round numbers.
The official total was 337 people.
That's a lot of people. Yeah, that is a lot of people. Well, that's a big area. They were spread out. They had, you had a number of great restaurants there from around the region, and the aquaculture guys that had the oysters there. So, you know, we had a number of the oyster companies that were providing raw oysters for the folks to eat, and then we had maybe a dozen restaurants or so, I don't remember, with their seafood dishes and other offerings. So it was a great time. Yeah. A lot of folks from the department were there, and folks from the oyster recovery, and folks that were interested in the health of the Chesapeake Bay. So it was a good time.
This is the second time we've done this, so we're learning. We're making it better every single time.
Sure.
Yeah, we had 10 restaurants, 6 oyster farms, and someone representing wild oyster fishery.
Yeah.
He'd actually been out there. It was day one of the wild oyster season, so he had been out there all morning harvesting the oysters, and then he brought them right up to the aquarium, so about as fresh as he can possibly get.
Yeah, just about. That's for sure. Oyster season opened this week. A lot of people don't know that, but and it's not all the months with the R. It's most of them.
Exactly. It's, yeah. And in fact, with aquaculture now, there's no more months that end with R.
Right.
You can get oysters
year-round. Sure. So we're accepting folks' phone calls today also, Steve. So if we have somebody that has a question, I hope you'll be able to answer that for them. And we'll go right to Kirk from Baltimore. Good morning, Kirk. How are you?
Good morning. Hanging in there.
Uh-huh.
Just barely.
I hear you, buddy.
I have two questions, one for you and one for your guest.
All right.
I know I've asked this one of you before, but I just I had a chance to ride through the area the other day, and they're in Loch Raven and Liberty on the restricted area.
Mm-hmm.
On the different species, what do you think is in there as far as size?
Size-wise on the, that would be below the dam?
Yeah, the area where you're not from number one bridge onto the dam.
Yeah. What do I think is in there?
Yes.
I think there's probably some huge brown trout from the gunpowder. I think there are probably any number of predatory fish like the big northerns that you prefer. I would say there's probably northerns in there 40 inches or better. As far as brown trout, I'm thinking 10, 12-pound brown trout. They're probably eating any number of white perch that might be in there, crappies up to probably 15 inches. I would say there's more than likely some largemouth in there up to 8, 9-pound.
I'm convinced that big northern I took 45 years ago that she came gliding out of there, because it was in Hampton Cove that I took her, and that she came out there looking for some mischief and snapped at that little Tony. She had never seen one before.
Right.
And for what other reason would a fish that size go for a tiny lure? I think it was just something that irritated it.
How big was she again?
43.5 inches.
43.5. That's a big northern pike for Maryland, that's for sure.
And it's just I keep thinking, what's in there that it's just, and it would be like going up into the wilds of Canada if they would just allow someone to go in there. And I think, what's their reaction? What would that big trout's reaction be to a little Tony going by?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm sure it would be fantastic. So you mentioned you had a question for Steve.
Yes. Overall, what is your opinion of the overall health as far as the the rock that are in the bay, the blues that come in for the game species. Overall, what is the health of these fish?
Overall, I think the health is looking pretty well. I was out on the water a lot this summer. I had a chance to harvest quite a bit of fish with our commercial watermen, and I really didn't see any that were distressed. I mean, there might be a fish here and there, but for the most part, the fish looked really good. There was a lot of just sub-legal sized fish, probably in that 14 to 16 inch range, which speaks well of upcoming year classes. So I think that, you know, it looks like we're going to have a good amount of fish coming up here in the bay, and the fish looks healthy.
So even with the decline of the water quality, the fish have been able to adapt to it, and they're going strong.
From what I've seen in my experience, yeah, the fish are going strong.
That's good to hear. That's really good to hear as far as what's going to be happening.
Kirk, we had a tremendous amount of fish in the bay this year. I mean a tremendous amount, and they stayed for a long, long time. The rockfish were very good quality. Towards the end here, the fish were doing well. Poplar Island was a tremendous hot spot, and those fish seemed to be concentrated in that area. Now, when you talk with the fisheries people, they were concentrated there for a reason. They had no place to go. There were some oxygen levels that surrounded them, and you know, I mean, it's a big area, no question about it. But if you fished that area, you were going to catch something. And everything else that came into the bay this year was incredible. The red drum were here. We got Spanish mackerel now. The perch were good. The hardheads were good. Some hammer handle bluefish and a little bit bigger came in. So am I reflecting what you saw out there, Steve?
Yeah, from what, you know, and we saw that even with the Diamond Jim contest.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, absolutely record numbers of people that caught, a marked tag fish.
Yeah, 54 fish, I believe, including the $25,000 prize winner. So
exactly, and I think in previous years, I think the tops was maybe 8 or 9.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That really speaks to how well the fish were this year.
Yep.
And then another thing on the commercial side of things, we have the quotas for the month. And these guys are hitting the quotas in 2 to 3 days versus spreading it out over the whole month. So that also speaks to how well the fishing is in the bay right now.
Sure, sure. And I like that. I like when they get their quota and get out of there. I mean, I think it's easier on the fishery. So
that makes you feel good when you hear that even with the increased fishing pressure that they're still out there. And
sure,
it really makes you feel good when you hear that kind of thing.
Exactly. So
you take care. I'm always listening to you.
We're going to put you on hold, Kirk, and we're going to put you in the muzzleloader contest.
Oh, okay.
All right, buddy. There he is, Steve.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got the oyster recovery program. Tell us a little bit about oysters in our Chesapeake Bay. What's of concern and where we're going?
Well, last year was an extremely good year. I don't have the final
yes, it was.
Yet, but the wild oyster harvest was triple what it had been in previous years.
Yep.
So we had a great stat set, low disease it looked like. So we're seeing a lot of oyster numbers in the bay. And this can be attributed to both the great stat set and the restoration efforts that are going around.
Sure.
The Oyster Recovery Partnership specifically has put back billions of oysters into the water, into the restored areas, and the continuing work that's going on in areas like the Harris Creek to bring oysters back
sure.
has, I'm sure, made an impact on the wild fishery. Additionally, with opening the bay up to aquaculture, we've gone from just a few acres of bottom being leased to over 4,000 acres of bottom being leased. And all of these guys are putting oysters back in the bay as well. So there's a tremendous amount of product going back in the bay. And as we all know, the oysters do a lot of filtering and provide a lot of habitat for other fish
sure.
and crustaceans.
Well, the guys at least the bottom, I mean, they're doing it for profit, obviously. I mean, you're out there trying to raise oysters to sell them to make some money. And whenever you do that, you're planning for the future. It's like planting a garden in your backyard. You know, you don't want your neighbors coming in there stealing your tomatoes. And,
exactly.
You got to keep your eye on it. And you do everything you can to make sure that that what you're raising is healthy and alive and doing well.
And I've personally spoken to these guys, and assessed and was concerned in the beginning with all these guys. You know, they figured that, hey, I'm going to put these oysters out there, and if we're not watching it, someone's going to sneak in and steal them. But absolutely nobody's had it. And, you know, I think everybody respects that, hey, this is their business, this is their property, we're not going to touch it.
Right.
So there's been, you know, that's been great to hear. And, you know, everybody talks about sustainable seafood. Sustainable seafood is such a buzzword in the industry right now.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is, one of my good friends, Barton, he likes to say that, you know, sustainable seafood means to sustain the current level. Oysters are one step above that. Oysters are restorative seafood. They make the environment that they're in better.
Yes. Exactly.
So with all these oyster guys putting millions and millions of oysters in there, times 30 to 50 gallons of water filtered per day, there's a lot of filtration going on and a lot of benefits to having these farms out there.
Absolutely. I'm not familiar with a lot of them. I mean, I know a few of them. The most familiar I am is with Chesapeake Gold, folks at the Hooper's Island Aquaculture Company. And I actually toured that facility, and they're raising their own algae for food for the spat. And I watched how they, you know, they invest a tremendous amount of time in raising these oysters. And once they're a certain size, then they move them to the bay. And it is just, it is quite an operation. I mean, they've got their own harvest boat and everything else. And they, you know, they've actually, I don't know if they've patented, but they manufacture the equipment for these aquaculture guys. And I just, it's a fascinating process to watch. And, you know, to see not only work, but investment of time and money into raising marketable oysters. And, you know, it's starting to pay off for those guys and some of the other ones. You know, the Chesapeake Gold were the ones that got the oyster contract for the Preakness this past year. So, you know, that was I think that was a good thing.
Yeah, just putting out Maryland oysters, making sure people are aware that just because it's from the Bay, they all don't taste the same. That's one of my missions this summer is to get the, you know, chefs out on the water and to understand that, hey, just because, they're both from the Bay does not mean they taste similar. Hooper's Island oyster and a Patuxent River oyster are going to taste completely different and have completely different properties to them. And, you know, we can actually, start seeing and seeing the differences between all these farms and hopefully, local restaurants start putting them on the menu and highlighting all the great oysters we have all around the Bay.
Exactly. Exactly. Steve, we got to take our first break this morning, and we just ask you to hang in there with us for another segment, and we'll
sure.
I know you got things to do today. You've got places to go for sure. at least 100 miles of them anyway.
At least 100 miles today, yeah.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
Alan Ellis here for Hammer Hollow Outfitters. Looking for a place to hunt for quality deer or waterfowl? Hammer Hollow Outfitters has thousands of acres spread over 9 farms on Maryland's eastern shore. Brian Doyle and Ken Kirchner are dedicated to your success and your safety. Hammer Hollow has proven blinds for ducks and geese, and their farms produce big bucks year after year. Your chances are good for a fair chase mature whitetail. Visit their website, hammerhollowoutfitters.com, or call 410-903-2872. Hammer Hollow Outfitters, 410-903-2872 for geese, ducks, and quality bucks. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery.
any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a battery warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the battery warehouse near you.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hunters, you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2013 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Week in Review, now on Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. on Talk Radio. Radio 680 WCBM.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. Bound by wild desire, I fell into a ring of fire.
All right, we're with Steve Vilnet, who's the seafood marketing guru for Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. You got any questions about seafood? Steve's going to be with us for another segment, and then he's got to go. Got some things to do here early this morning. So, Steve, let's talk a little bit about crabs and True Blue. What does that mean?
True Blue is a program that we started a year ago this past Memorial Day. I came from the seafood wholesale industry, and I really realized early on that there wasn't too many restaurants, even though we're right here in the heart of crab country. There isn't too many restaurants that are actually using Maryland crab meat. Most of the crab meat that was used was from Indonesia, Venezuela, China, and I think consumers just assumed that because we're here in Maryland, we're here right next to the Chesapeake Bay, that every restaurant was serving Maryland crab meat in their crab cakes, and truth was that they weren't. So we started a program called True Blue, and basically what this does is certifies restaurants and other businesses that use Maryland crab meat. And we go in and we check invoices and we make sure that they actually are buying from Maryland. And we started out with just 5 restaurants a year ago, and now we're up to over 170. And it's not just restaurants. It's restaurants, retail stores, caterers, schools, and even hospitals are on board the program now.
Yes, they are. And, tell people, if they're not using Maryland crabs, where are they coming from? Where are the crabs coming from? Can you tell us that? I mean, everybody thinks that all the crabs that are sold in Maryland are Maryland crabs, and, we know that not to be true. We know that because of the bay's condition this year, the amount of crabs and that type of thing, a number of folks that sell steam crabs and live crabs, blue crabs here in Maryland, get them from out of state. They get them from the Gulf states, Louisiana, Texas, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, I guess. They come in from all over, the main source being Louisiana, as far as I know. And, these are some of the crabs, and some of the folks are advertising the fact that they don't have the Chesapeake Bay crabs. But the picking houses are the ones that once they're certified True Blue, they're the ones that kind of stick with the Maryland True Blue crabs, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically, the live bushel market, we're getting crabs from everywhere, and we have to do that. Maryland consumes so many crabs, we couldn't possibly support them, all the crabs that are consumed in Maryland.
Well, exactly. Sure.
So the good thing is, if you're getting a live crab or if you're, getting a steamed crab, it's coming from the United States.
Sure.
They're not using any imported crab. Because as a Marylander, you're going to know exactly right away that you're not getting a Maryland crab. The crabs that they use, the imported crabs, are a blue swimming crab or a red swimming crab. Don't look anything like our Maryland crab.
Right.
So you'd spot it right away. So the good thing is, if you're buying a live crab, it is a domestic crab.
Sure.
Now, crab meat, on the other hand, it's very difficult to tell once you get a pound of crab meat exactly if it's imported or domestic.
Right.
So that's why we started this program, was focusing on the crab meat specifically. But then, you know, we kind of branched out to all the, you know, to live bushel market and everything like that as well. But the picking houses, even the picking houses can't use 100% Maryland crab meat. They have to supplement a little bit from Virginia, North Carolina, as, you know, when the seasons are bad. The beginning of our season here is just, there's not a lot of crabs available, so they don't even have to supplement. But the fact of the matter is that they're using mostly Maryland crabs, and that's what we're trying to do, is support the local crabbers and give them a chance to compete against the global market.
Sure, absolutely. And Steve, my compliments to you. You have done that with not just the True Blue program, but you've done that with a lot of fish that hadn't previously been marketable, and you've expanded the market for based on your background to places around the country and around the world. We have another question for you, Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale.
Good morning, Professor. Steve, how you doing?
Great. How you doing?
All right. You know, before I left, you had started trying to market local yellow perch, and because most of the fish that were caught by the commercial watermen, the yellow perch, were going out to the Midwest. I was just wondering how successful you've been with respect to local marketing of yellow perch, which, quite frankly, if I had my choice, that'd be my number one choice of fish to eat.
The market has been great. We started out, and the guys were getting about 80 cents a pound, and basically, like you said, freezing the product and shipping it off to the Midwest. You know, and I'm a guy that worked in this local seafood market for 10 years before I came over to the department, and I had never even known we had yellow perch in the bay. It was just not something that people used around here. What we did was we basically introduced it to the restaurant. Got them highlighted on the menu. We had some partners at Whole Foods that highlighted it in their retail cases. And we took a market that was approximately 80 cents, and it's for the past 2 years, the price of yellow perch to the fishermen has been well over $2.50 a pound.
That's great. That's great. Well, do you know of the percentage of the catch, what's staying in state and what's still being shipped out to the Midwest?
I don't have the exact numbers. I know that a much greater percentage is staying in state than being shipped, though, but I believe some is still being shipped out of state.
Okay, because I know it's a lot of listeners might not know, but yellow perch is probably the most popular fish to eat in the Midwest.
Well, Dale, I'm going to give you some numbers here that are just absolutely amazing. Steve, hang on the line here. Steve, would you just briefly talk about the market for blue catfish?
Sure.
We've discussed this with folks who are involved in this program, and blue catfish is an invasive species and eats a tremendous amount of our native fish that come into the river systems and that type of thing. And of course, there is a great sport fishing effort underway to catch and release these big fish. But talk about the commercial market.
Sure. This is, again, like you said, this is a fish that is invasive, and, you know, we need to get rid of it. We need to get it out of the waters, and I've always said, you know, humans are great at one thing, is, you know, wiping things out of existence. And so basically, here's a fishery where these guys have basically no regulations, no size limits, no seasons. It's a completely open fishery, and go get them. You know, let's get the last blue catfish out of the water. And it turns out these little critters are actually great to eat. We've had the guys catching them locally. We went from about 20,000 pounds 2 years ago being harvested, to we're on track to have over 500,000 pounds sold locally this year. It's a great protein source.
Say that again. 500,000 pounds.
500,000 pounds.
That's 250 tons of blue catfish.
Will be sold locally this year, and that's
yes.
Not even including people that are shipping it elsewhere.
I talked to one of the representatives of a company called ProFish out of, I believe, Montgomery County or D.C., I believe, and they are very proactive in marketing the blue catfish. I mean, they're right there. And he said they went from, I think, 1,000 or 3,000 pounds or something like that the first 2 years, and then they're on track to market almost 300,000 pounds of blue catfish this year, or within the next year. So
yeah, it's fantastic. We have a lot of restaurants picking up. You know, the fact of the matter is, it does taste good, and it's something that we can feel good about harvesting.
We actually,
you know, it's a double-edged sword of, you know, they're great tasting fish, but you don't want to harvest too many because you don't want to hurt the population. Here's a feel-good story. You know, we can eat the fish and we can help the bay at the same time.
Right. Well, the National Press Club, who was represented there, the restaurant was serving Maryland blue crab stuffed blue catfish, which was tremendous, you know, a little like hors d'oeuvres type of thing. And that's that was at the Mermaid Kiss event at the aquarium the other night, and we thoroughly enjoyed that particular dish. So blue catfish is in the future plans for a lot of folks to be on their plate, that's for sure. So,
Alan, any idea what the price per pound that the commercial watermen have been getting for blue catfish?
Steve?
Yeah, right now we're seeing anywhere from about 70 cents to a dollar a pound for catfish. And while it isn't high, these guys are catching tremendous levels. So it's fairly easy to catch them. So they're still making good money on it. And the other thing I want to, you know, highlight here is while they're targeting blue catfish, because that's what the wholesalers want right now, they're giving our native catfish species a break. They're not going after them. They're not targeting them.
The channel catfish.
Rebound. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
That's good. That's good. And, Steve, we have to ask you about snakeheads. I mean, we have listeners that like to talk about snakeheads.
Yeah, snakeheads are the other invasive species. And, you know, they've gotten a lot more of the spotlight just because I guess snakeheads are sexier than blue catfish. but they are the other invasive species here. And they are going for the restaurants have really latched onto it. It is another delicious tasting fish, and why wouldn't it be? It eats all the delicious things that we have here in the bay. But at the same time, it's another fish that we really need to get rid of. Now these aren't as easy to catch as the blue catfish, and these guys are having, some success, going after them with bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Going out at night with bow and arrow. And, you know, I'm all for that fishery. This is a zero, ecological damage fishery. We're not using any gear that's going to hurt the environment. There's no bycatch associated with using a bow and arrow unless you're just a really bad shot. so there's this is a great way to go fishing for this product. And we're noticing some interesting markets develop. We're seeing that, hey, if you get a head shot, it's $5.50 a pound for a whole fish. And if you get a body shot, it's $3 a pound because it moves the meat a little bit.
What do you think of that, Dale?
That's not bad.
Not bad at all.
That's not bad.
So, very cool.
Yeah, I mean, when we're seeing 10-pound snakeheads out there, you know, $5.50, that's a pretty good haul for one fish.
No question about it. Yeah.
And because of the poor yield on the fish, I mean, you only get about 28% meat on a whole fish. Fillet prices are over $20 a pound, which puts it up there with a Chilean sea bass or bluefin tuna.
And it's readily available for the folks that are in that area, and it does provide great sport as far as rod and reel and for bow fishing as well. And bow fishing seems to be extremely effective, as you said, at night. And there are actually cottage industries, bow fishing clubs and tournaments and things like that have come up around the snakehead in the last 10 years. So it's pretty amazing. So
not to mention the fact, Alan, they are delicious. They are superb.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So.
Okay.
All right, Steve. Thanks, Dale. Appreciate
right,
the call.
Talk to you later.
Yep. There goes Dale. Steve.
Yes.
I'm going to let you go here in about 5 or 6 minutes. What would you like to tell the folks about seafood in Maryland and what our future holds?
Well, one quick thing I want to mention is that we do have a promotion coming up. Actually, it starts today called From the Bay, For the Bay.
Uh-huh.
There's a number of restaurants around the bay that are for participating this year. You can go on the MarylandSeafood.org and check out the whole list of everybody. But these restaurants have agreed for a week to put at least a couple of Maryland seafood dishes on the menu. And what they're going to do is for every Maryland seafood dish they sell during this week, they're going to donate $1 back to Oyster Recovery Partnership to help the restoration efforts. So if you're going out to dinner this week, and you haven't decided on where you're going yet, take a look at this list and support one of these guys. So not only are you supporting Maryland Seafood and the commercial guys that are out there working hard for us every day, but you're also supporting the restoration efforts going on in the bay.
What's the website again?
MarylandSeafood.org.
MarylandSeafood.org. Very good. All right. Well, we're glad to help you spread that message, Steve. That's for sure. .org. Yep, MarylandSeafood.org is the website if you want to find out where to go for dinner this week and support the program. And a dollar for that meal goes back to the Oyster oyster recovery efforts here in the partnership in the Chesapeake Bay. And, Steve, we thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, Alan. It was a great time.
Yes, indeed. We covered a lot of ground in a very short amount of time, and we want to invite you to come back again.
All right, definitely. I'll be back.
All right, Steve. Thanks again. And there goes Steve Vilnet, marketing seafood marketing guru for Maryland Department of Natural Resources. A lot of good things happening here in Maryland about our with our natural resources, and Steve is very actively involved in that, and we want to say thanks for that. Now it's time for me to invite you to give us a call here if you'd like to sign up for the free muzzleloader that we're going to give away the last Saturday of the month. We're giving away a CVA muzzleloader, and you can go and check that out on CVA.com. Good folks at CVA. They've been helping us for the last, oh, I don't know, 7 or 8 years, giving muzzleloaders away to our listeners. All you got to do is call in. That's 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. You can call in and give us your name, your phone number, and we'll put you on the list at the end of the month. Everybody's name goes in a hat. We draw a random drawing, and we've got a first and a second place this year. The second place is going to win one of Emily Miller's books called Emily Gets Her Gun, a signed copy of that. And if you don't win second place and win first, you're going to get a new stainless steel camo Wolf model muzzleloader from the fine folks at CVA. So that's how the contest works. Now, we just put it on Facebook this week, too. If you want to like us on Facebook, become a Facebook fan of The Outdoorsman Radio Show. That's how you find it, The Outdoorsman Radio Show on Facebook. And yeah, become a fan and mention that you heard it on the radio and you want to get in the contest. We're going to give you a bonus point. In other words, you're going to get two chances to win. Two for becoming a Facebook fan. That means if you call here and you go on Facebook, one each. That's right. So we're looking to build our Facebook audience, and yeah, 1 + 1 = 2. That's exactly. We learned that lesson how long ago? What were we talking about at that time? We were talking about the compass system and our fishing and hunting licenses. Yeah, we think that we should only have to have one, carry one piece of paper. One in hunting season, one in fishing season, just like always. That equals one. I think it's binary language. I think that's what it is for these IT guys. Anyway. And we're welcoming your phone calls here, 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. But it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. You know, they are, now that the handgun and the gun ban has gone into effect, they don't have the paperwork to sell you a handgun. And folks, you waited till the last second, and you know, who knows what's going to happen with that. A lot of things are going on in the background and in court, and you know, we'll give you an update here as soon as we get it all together. But today I want to tell you about some of the fine Browning firearms at Clyde Sports Shop, and also about their muzzleloaders. They do carry the Thompson Center brand of muzzleloaders. The new Pro Hunter FX is the is the hottest thing going on right now. They have the Triumph. The Omega model has been discontinued, although they do have some. They got the Encore with the switchable barrels. And if you're into muzzleloader hunting or want to get interested in it, well, stop down and see Clyde Sports Shop. Now, if you like fine firearms, the A5 Browning is back. Available in standard, you know, blued steel and wood stock. It's also available with a synthetic stock and or a camo synthetic stock and camo barrel. It's the most reliable, fastest cycling, best performing, and softest shooting recoil operated autoloader on the planet. And this year, the A5 comes with a 100,000 round or 5-year guarantee. That's the A5 from the folks at Browning. Don't forget the BPS pump shotgun if you like pump shotguns. Available in all gauges, 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and even 10-gauge models, the 12 and 20. You can get a deer gun, if you like, with a rifled barrel for a deer model. So there's the Maxis. There's the X-Bolt high-powered rifle, the BT-99 trap gun, the Gold Light 10-gauge, and the 725 Satori Sporting models from Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Why not give them a call, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop.
Don't be fooled by cheap crab prices. That's bull stuff. NBS Seafood offers only Maryland live crabs, a little more expensive, but well worth it. Avoid the pre-steamed, mushy, flavorless crab scandal. Get your live Maryland crabs at NBS Seafood. Maryland watermen supply the best local crabs caught today for you to enjoy tonight. Cook your own crabs to unlock that special flavor that Maryland blues are famous for. Just 20 minutes in your steamer, so good your taste buds scream. We even have a crab spice for you. Call NBS Seafood at 410-271-3202. NBS Seafood has fresh Maryland crab meat, live Maine lobsters, live crawfish, wild-caught Gulf shrimp, and many fresh and flash frozen delights. And they shed their own soft crabs in their own tanks for the cleanest, freshest, soft crabs anywhere. NBS Seafood has a roadside stand at 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie, next to Jim Donnie's RV. Open 7 days, Monday through Friday, 2:30 to 6:30, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 6:30. That phone number, 410-271-3202. 271-3202 for live crabs, NBS Seafood. No bull stuff sold here. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner. The Doe Harvest Challenge is now statewide. Deer hunters, by donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2013 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. Buck Bomb works all season long with its downwind full coverage particulate dispersal spray. It's the easiest and most effective deer scent delivery system, period. Choose Ambush, Doe Pea, or Vanilla Curiosity Set, and Buck Bomb is your choice for the rut. The traditional Doe and Estrus spray is still number one to attract bucks. Now there's the Detonator, a canister with a wick that holds any Buck Bomb scent, hangs on a nearby limb, and brings the bucks close. When you're done, simply roll the wick into the canister for another day. The no-leak O-ring seal prevents any scent from escaping. Trigger the detonator with the igniter, a 4-ounce bottle of liquid Doe and Estrus scent. This potent combination is your best bet for the rut. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer or order online at buckbomb.com or call 1-866-850-6653. Fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb.
You're on the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM and WCBM.com.
All the things I'm missing, good fiddles, love, and kissing.
All right. I have a question for you. What do you call the little foam things that wrap around a can? What do you call those? You know, you slide the can down in this foam thing, and it keeps your hands from getting wet. It keeps your your drink cold. What do you call that? What is that thing called? 410-922-6680. Foam thing around the can. Yeah, that would be good. Exactly. 410-922-6680. I'd like our listeners to take this quiz and respond quickly because I'm trying to make a point here. 410-922-6680. It's a foam thing that you slide your can down in, and it keeps, you know, keeps your hands dry and keeps the soft drink or whatever a little bit colder. I don't know. Oh, by the way, on the muzzleloader contest, the CVA Wolf muzzleloader, camo stainless steel model, you can sign up online, too. All you have to do is send me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, and include your first name, your last name, and your phone number, and we'll put you right in the drawing. All right, look at that. Here we go. Look at that. Linda has an answer. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Yes.
Yeah, we call them coolies.
Coolies.
I don't know if that's really what they're called.
Okay, coolies. Very good. All right. I appreciate that. Thank you. Stay on the line. If you want to be in a muzzleloader contest, we'll get your name and number.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Hold on. Okay. Who's on line two there? Hello?
Okay, thanks.
I guess we'll answer the calls in order here. So, okay. There's Linda. That's Eric. All right. In Westminster. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. What do you call that?
I call them can coolers, but I see them sold all the time as koozies, with a Z as in zebra, koozie.
Koozie. Okay. Can koozie, can cooler.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Stay on the line there, and we'll get your name and phone number. We're going to move this along real quick here. Let's see. Tom in Pasadena. Good morning. How are you, Tom? What do you call that thing?
Koozie.
Koozie. Anything before or after that?
Nope.
Just a koozie.
Yep.
Okay. Hang on the line. You want to be in a muzzleloader contest?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Hang on there. We'll get to you. And we got Chris in Charles Village. Good morning, Chris. What do you call this thing?
Good morning. They're called, and I learned plumbing in Ocean City, they're called beer muffins.
Beer muffins. Okay.
Yep.
Beer muffins, koozies, coolies, beer muffins. All right. Chris, hang on the line. We'll get you in a contest here. Thank you. That's good. We got all the answers we need. Okay. And the reason I asked this, I obtained one of these things, actually a couple of these things the other day. And here is the message. On one side, it is printed, and it's got a little guy in a tree, apparently, on a tree stand with his safety harness on and his strap around the tree, and it says, "Think before you climb!" Exclamation point. Always wear a full-body safety harness. www.dnr.maryland.gov. Maryland Natural Resources Police Hunter Education Program. It's blaze orange, one of these devices. You flip it over, it says, "Hunt from a tree stand. Always wear a full-body safety harness, Maryland Natural Resources Police Hunter Education Program, www.dnr.maryland.gov. A fluorescent orange, black print, koozie, coolie, beer muffin. Am I the only one that sees this as a great message with a very poor delivery system? Now you can call back, 410-922-6680. Let me know your opinion. On a beer muffin, we've got a safety message from Hunter Safety Education. On a koozie, we got a message from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Police Hunter Education Program. On a koozie, we have that message. Is that a good delivery system? Is that a good media, a good vehicle for that? I see Josh is listening, and he's sending me an email. But I'm asking a question. Do you think that it sends a good message? That you got a safety message on a product that is primarily used on a beer can. Oh, I know it could be a soda can. I'm not taking that away. But what do you think about the message? 410-922-6680. I'd like to get your opinion on that. There we go. Let's see. We got a couple emails there. One from John B. Just checking in. Koozie. Yep. Okay. That's right. We got that. And what does Josh have to say? Let's talk to Jerry in Annapolis. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to let you know that the thing is a can sock.
A can sock.
Yeah.
All right, a can sock. And what do you primarily use a can sock for?
Well, it's put over soda cans.
Uh-huh. Soda, huh?
I drink about one beer a month, so I don't have it to keep my beer cool.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But, anyway, it works.
Okay. Well, what do you think about...
Also works for glass.
What do you think about the safety message from the Natural Resources Police Hunter Education Program printed on one of these things?
Well, it'd be hard to print it on that because it would work.
Well, it's not. I'm not even going there what the process is. I'm thinking about the delivery system for the message.
Uh-huh.
All right. Jerry, thanks for your call, buddy. Appreciate that. Dennis, Middle River. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to say a couple of things. First of all, I've been listening to you from the day that you first started, and I remember I deliver newspapers.
Yeah, I remember. Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, the poor guy. I says, what a time slot that he's picked. I says, I wonder if that was all that was available. And they clicked on me and says, you know, great outdoors and stuff like that. And I says, oh, that makes perfect sense. And I says, I hope he does really well. I just want you to know that I'm really, really happy that you've made it for all these years. I've never called you before, but I'm one of your people out there that's a faithful listener, and I appreciate you being one.
That's...
But what I wanted to say was, right now I'm delivering papers in the Harford County area.
Right.
And I know that, you know, talking about deer hunting and all that. Alan, I see between 15 and 30 deer every single morning. The fawns and the baby deer, whatever their actual names are. But, I mean, I picture, you know, all the hunters that call up and stuff up in their tree stands and, you know, waiting for the deer to come and they have all the scents and stuff like that and you got to be quiet and all this. And I see all the deer just coming by. You know, sometimes I have to wait in the road and like wave them on.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well,
to cross by. You know, can you guys hurry? You know, I got like a time limit here.
Right.
And I'll look in people's yards and I'll see like five or six just laying around. You know, they're relaxing and stuff.
Sure.
And having a good old time. And I've actually pulled up alongside of them. I mean, they're like maybe, you know, 20, 30 feet away from me. But I can take pictures of them and stuff. And I think about all the hunters. And I say, boy, they ought to come with me. I mean, I know it's illegal. You can't just...
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Pull them away and stuff like that. I'd have a very profitable business.
Sure. Well, Dennis, you know what? We all feel that frustration. I mean, when we're going hunting and in the dark, you know, we see nice deer alongside the road. So that is very frustrating. And we appreciate your listenership. We appreciate your call, buddy. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, too.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There goes Dennis. All right, we're going to take one more quick break, and we'll be right back to talk to John and Wesley and whoever else is on the line.
Alan Ellis here for Hammer Hollow Outfitters. Looking for a place to hunt for quality deer or waterfowl? Hammer Hollow Outfitters has thousands of acres spread over 9 farms on Maryland's Eastern Shore. Brian Doyle and Ken Kirchner are dedicated to your success and your safety. Hammer Hollow has proven blinds for ducks and geese, and their farms produce big bucks year after year. Your chances are good for a fair chase mature whitetail. Visit their website, hammerhollowoutfitters.com, or call 410-903-2872. Hammer Hollow Outfitters, 410-903-2872, for geese, ducks, and quality bucks.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Crossing the highway late last night, it didn't look left and it didn't look right. Didn't see the station wagon car. Skunk got squashed and there you are. You got a dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. You got a dead skunk in the middle of the road. And he's stinking the high.
Yes, he is. Loudon Wainwright to third. John in Baltimore. Good morning. How are you, John?
Fine. How are you doing, Al?
Good.
Hey, I was calling. You know, I understand your mixed message that that's sending with those koozies, and because it does seem as though it's promoting drinking and you know, and yet touting safety at the same time. But, you know, I don't drink canned beer or really very little beer at all, and I use mine for sodas and bottled water.
No doubt, and that's why I tossed it out there. I wanted to see what the reaction of our listeners and emailers was.
I do think that was probably a poor choice, but you know, I guess somebody can find something bad in everything they choose, you know. But I do think that does send quite a mixed message. But you know,
they're available through the license agents for free. So if you stop by your local sporting goods store and you want a free can koozie, ask them if they have one for the safety message delivered by the Maryland Natural Resources Police Hunter Education Program.
Thank you, Alan.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Let's talk to Wesley in Westminster. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Real quick.
Yeah. I think it's a poor delivery system, but it's a good message, and you know we all have to hear it 100,000 times before it starts to sink in on some people.
No doubt.
So
well,
we can hear it, the better.
I agree with the message. If you hunt from a tree stand, wear a full body safety harness. No question about it. It's an investment for what's your life worth.
You got it.
All right, Wesley. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan.
See you, buddy. Bye, bye. 4:10 to be. Well, I guess we're out of time for the hour, so. We'll be doing the news here. I'll be coming back in about 5 or 6 minutes, and you can call in with your opinion. Get online for the muzzleloader contest if you like, and we'll catch up with you after the news. Now get out, stay out, and stay safe.
Hunters, you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFHD.